Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
On this week's episode of The Cinema Geeks,
we take a look back at our spring predictions.
We find out who had the best feeling when it came to the fate of the Furious.
And we bring you our first set of summer predictions.
All that and more coming up on today's episode with The Cinema Geeks.
That's right, it's another episode of The Cinema Geeks, and I am one of your Cinema Geeks, Optimus Solo, and joining me, as you heard in the intro today, like usual, is Hard Candy Mandy.
Hey!
Movie Revolt Dan.
Hello!
And Fridley Sent.
Hi!
Everybody's here and accounted for and greeting. I never know if you're greeting me and saying hi to me, or if you're just, like, saying a general hi to, like, whoever's listening.
Like me specifically? Yeah, just anybody. I don't even know.
Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's the other. Yeah.
So I never know. I'm like, am I responding? Or is that the listener that's supposed to respond as they listen?
I hope you guys are like in the gym or in your car or something and you're like saying hey back to us. That'd be great.
Tell us if you are, that's for sure. Today we're going to, as we said in the introduction, continue with our prediction episodes. We haven't made or haven't heard any results yet for our 2017 predictions. We've just today come to the first set of them. So we're going to be looking back at the spring predictions, letting each other know and the listeners know who was the most Nostradamus-like for the spring predictions. And then we're going to give you our look ahead at May and June. We're just going to split it up into 2 months. We'll do July and August. It's kind of like a summer two preview later on. That way, hopefully, we can highlight a few more films and get some discussions going on what we are anticipating and what our thoughts are so far with the what we've seen, whether it be, you know, information, posters, trailers, teasers, or just stuff that we've read online. Before we get into the spring results, though, I do want to update, for the record, some items that we talked about as far as last year's box office predictions and the actual overall results. Just for the record, I want to make sure that we are correct with what happened overall, because there was some last second changes as movies continued to get box office money in January and through the award season. It does not have any effect on any of our rankings or our placements or anything like that, but just for the record, Fantastic Beasts did pass Doctor Strange. They flip-flopped the 12 and 13 spots, so Fantastic Beasts ended up in the 12th spot and Doctor Strange ended up in the 13th spot. Star Trek Beyond actually fell out of the top 15. It finished in 16th spot because of a late surge by an Oscar contender. Hidden Figures actually ended in the top 15 last year. Dan, does that surprise you? It ended at actually number 14. It passed Star Trek Beyond and Jason Bourne.
Yeah, somewhat. I thought that's interesting to me. Like, that's good to see. I know La La Land was making like some push too, but that's insane. I never would have guessed that at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, so Hidden Figures actually ended with a box office total of $169 million, which booted Star Trek Beyond from the top 15. But like I said, it had very little effects on... We all basically lost 1 point if we had Star Trek Beyond because it went down a spot and a couple of us flip-flop our points for Fantastic Beasts and Doctor Strange. But just something interesting to think about as we were starting to go through some of the month-by-month results of the spring. Amanda, we recently caught up with Hidden Figures. Are you surprised it made that much money in there with some of those big blockbuster films?
No, I think it's much deserving of the money that it got, and I'm glad that it had a little, you know, surge there, based on the popularity that it gained around award time. I think it was a great, great movie, and I'm a little sad that we didn't catch it in theaters. I just didn't, I didn't have a lot of excitement around it, but now that I've seen it, it was an amazing film, so good for it.
Yeah, so we're going to get into the spring results here. If you have not been with us for one of these episodes previously, how this works is we have all previously made on a different episode box office predictions and Rotten Tomato predictions in a number of different categories. And what we do here is we reveal the results, and none of the, you know, Amanda, Dan, Matt, they don't know what any of the results are unless they've been keeping track on, you know, the box office, Mojo, or Rotten Tomatoes to see kind of how their picks have been doing. But kind of reveal this live on the record, and then we go ahead and start making predictions for another couple months. So we're going to go through the box office predictions from the spring, and then we'll hit the Rotten Tomato one afterwards. And I just want to tell you guys up front, this is the weirdest set of prediction results I think we've ever had.
So it means I have a chance.
It's a bizarre, we're about to reveal some bizarre results. I'm just going to put it that way. So we're going to start with the picks to click. These were movies that we had predicted were going to make a decent amount of money, make more than their budget, and be, well, I guess, what you would consider a box office success. So first off, we're going to get the one out of the way that's kind of questionable because of how recently it came out, and it hasn't maybe had time to make its budget back, but it's not going to have an effect on the results. And the movie I'm talking about is Fate of the Furious. We all had that as a pick to click for the spring, so it would not affect it either way. Either we would all get it right or we'd all get it wrong, so it really wouldn't matter too much. But currently it's made $192 million. Its budget was $250 million, so it is, you know, over $50 million away from its budget, but it also has only had 3 weekends to go so far. Dan, what do you think? Are we going to eventually call this a box office success, or do you think it's coming up a little bit short?
Oh, no, it's coming up. It's going to be a success. I mean, it made like $1 trillion worldwide, too. So I think it's going to be considered a success.
Yeah, and I was in agreement with that. I just wanted to kind of throw it out there to see what your guys' thoughts are. So I think we can all kind of click that one off as a correct pick to click. So we're going to be all one for one with our pick that we had in common. The rest of the picks will be a little bit different. So Matt and Amanda, you were in step, though, with your other pick to click. You guys both went with Beauty and the Beast. Amanda, how are you feeling about that?
Pretty dang good.
As you should. Does anybody know what Beauty and the Beast has made so far? Do you guys?
It's like the biggest movie of the year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it
400
is.
400 something?
Yes, currently in first place with $480 million on the year. I don't know if you guys remember where everybody had it for our yearly predictions, but $480 million is a lot of money. So any, I know we all had it in our top 15, but Dan, I think you might have had it the highest.
I had it too. I'm excited. I'm excited where it's landing.
So it sounds like you might be the most accurate with that so far. I mean, we do have a lot of movies still to come, but so a point both for Matt and Amanda for picking Beauty and the Beast as a pick to click. Dan, your second pick was The Shack, and it had a budget of $20 million. I don't know how it had that big of a budget, but it had a budget of $20 million.
Really, it had that big.
But Dan, it's made $57 million already. So
there you go.
It more than doubled its budget. So you are two for two as well in the picks to click. And my other one, I went with one of the early releases for the spring. I went with Logan. And Logan is currently the second highest grossing movie of the year behind Beauty and the Beast. So it goes Beauty and the Beast at 480 and Logan at 224. Logan only had a budget of 97. That is a small budget for a superhero film. So yeah. We're all batting a thousand here for our picks to click. We all get 2 points for that. Let's see if that continues when we go to our bets to bomb, though. Amanda's already shaking her head. I don't even know if she remembers which ones she picked or not. Amanda, your first pick, since you're the one shaking your head, you had Unforgettable as a bet to bomb. What do you think?
Did it bomb?
Its budget was only $12 million.
Oh, shit. So chances are it did not.
It's only made 8.
Oh, thank Jesus.
So it's only made 8 against a budget of 12, so that's good enough for you to get your bomb, your first bomb right. Matt, you had Power Rangers. Any suspicions or thoughts on that one?
I've heard too many good things, but there's no way that movie's made money, right?
Its budget was $100 million. It's a pretty big budget. It's made some money. It's currently in 6th for the year, but it's only made 84.
Yeah.
So only making 84 domestic against a budget of 100. I mean, maybe it'll trickle in a few more dollars here and there, but I think that's going to be good enough to call that a bomb as far as the financial. I think it did better than I expected it to do, but I think we would have to consider it a bomb overall. Dan, your first pick was Life. Life has a budget of $58 million. How do you feel about that?
I thought it'd be more than that, considering all the stars that are involved, so I'm a little scared.
Budget $58 million, gross $29 million.
There you go.
So, not even, well, just a little over half of its budget back. So, it did not have a long shelf life. I think it made most of its money right away, and that was about it. So.
Yeah, because that movie was crap.
I don't know if I'd call it crap. It just was.
It was crap.
Lost out on some potential, that's for sure, and a little bit too much of a clone of some other films some people might be familiar with. My first bet to bomb was Kong Skull Island because of its budget, which was $185 million. That is a humongous budget, and it's done decent. It's in fourth for the year, but it's only made 164. So it's made 164 against 185. So even though it's fourth in the year, that's going to be good enough for a bomb. So we all get our first bomb pick correct. Let's go through the second round and see if this string can continue. So far, nobody has missed a pick.
That's about to change.
Amanda, your second bet to bomb was Smurfs, The Lost Village.
Please tell me that shit bombed.
Smurfs, budget $60 million. Gross, $37. So just over half of its budget. I guess the Smurfs luster is wearing off for people. Matt, your second bet to bomb was Ghost in the Shell. You saw that.
A lot of backlash.
A lot of backlash. If I tell you that the budget was $110 million, do you think you're right or wrong?
I mean, I can't imagine it made significantly more than Power Rangers.
It did not make more than Power Rangers. It's only made $39 million. So just $2 million more than the Smurfs movie. Ghost in the Shell made $2 million more than Smurfs.
That's a tragedy.
And cost twice the amount.
And cost almost twice the amount. So you're golden as well. Dan, your second bomb pick was The Lost City of Z. I can't find any budget information on Lost City of Z so far, but it's only made $4 million. And it had to have cost more than $4 million because they took like 17 trips back and forth to the Amazon. So just for plane tickets alone, it had to have cost more than $4 million. So I think it's safe to say that...
But when did that come out? 3 weeks ago?
I don't have all the dates listed. It came out during that...
It was a long time ago. Forever ago.
Dan's like, it was like March 1st. So we're going to consider Lost City of Z a bomb because it had to have cost more than $4 million to make. My other bet to bomb was a movie that I have heard nothing about. I've seen no podcast do a review of this. I've heard nobody talking about this on social media. I don't even know if anybody actually saw this. It was Chips. Chips' budget was $25 million. Not a big budget, but it's only made $18. And I can't imagine it's going to make anything more than that because it's brief.
Baywatch is about to come out then, and they're not going to see that. They're going to see Baywatch instead.
So one more round, everybody. Still perfect. All right. Then we went to our wild card picks for the box office. We will start with Mr. Fridley Cent. Matt, you had said that Beauty and the Beast live action will make more than Beauty and the Beast animated version. Do you know how much the animated version made?
In my notes, I have $218 million.
Yes. So it did well. It made $218 million, but as we stated earlier...
That's huge.
Yeah, but as we stated earlier, that's not even half as much as the live-action one has made. So you are correct. The live-action one destroyed the animated version. Amanda, are you surprised that it's made that much more money than the animated version? Double the box office?
No, definitely not.
Should we consider inflation? I'm just throwing it out there.
I mean, we could, and it would still be over.
Would it still win?
Yeah, I don't think money's doubled in 20 years.
I didn't look at the inflated, adjusted for inflation numbers, but we might, out of curiosity, have to look at that before the show's over, just for curiosity's sake. Dan, your wild card was a Battle of the Monster movies. We had the Godzilla film, which came out a couple years ago, and we've talked about how that was somewhat going to be a shared universe with King Kong and stuff like that. So your prediction was that Godzilla was going to beat Kong Skull Island. Do you remember how much Godzilla made off the top of your head?
I don't. Like $180 million, maybe? I don't know.
It made $200. So $200 against Kong Skull Island's $164. So even though Godzilla got kind of critiqued pretty heavily and criticized for a lot of things, it made more money than Kong Skull Island. So you are correct as well. All right. My wild card pick for box office was that Beauty and the Beast would have the largest opening weekend of the two-month period. Its opening weekend was $174 million. The next closest was Fate of the Furious, whose opening weekend was $98. So Beauty and the Beast almost doubled that as far as an opening weekend. In fact, Beauty and the Beast's second weekend, it made $90 million. So its second weekend was almost better than any other film's opening weekend. So, one more point for the crew here on the box office predictions. Amanda, we've all been perfect so far.
Don't put that on me, please. Don't do that.
Your wild card pick is that Ghost in the Shell would beat Power Rangers.
That's no good. No good.
So, yeah, Ghost in the Shell beating Power Rangers is not going to be an accurate statement because Ghost in the Shell, as we said, only made 39. Power Rangers made 84. So we have our first miss of the day. We went through our entire box office predictions and only got one thing wrong. So that means we had 19 for 20 in our box office predictions. Dan, are you surprised at how well we predicted the spring so far?
No, we're pretty good at this, so no, I think we're good. I mean, let's be honest, like it's not that difficult to bet that Fast and Furious is going to make money. But, yeah.
There were a few softballs maybe thrown about there. I think the bomb ones are almost harder, but we did pretty well with those as well. A perfect record on the clicks and the bombs. It just got a little wild with the wild cards on Amanda's side.
Gotta be me then, right? Fucking it all up for everybody. I see how it is. Rub it in some more. How about that? Do it. I dare you.
Okay, let's switch modes here. Let's go to see how we did Rotten Tomatoes-wise and see if our expertise continues, as Dan said. So,
oh, I suck at this even more.
For Rotten Tomatoes, we picked two films that we say are going to be certified fresh, two films that we are going to say, for our definition, are going to be certified rotten, which means 25% or below on Rotten Tomatoes. And then the new thing that we're doing this year is we're doing a versus where we just pit two films against each other. So let's start with the fresh films. Matt, you had Going in Style, Being Fresh.
I don't even remember that movie.
Didn't hear a bunch about that, the old folks reunion there, tour. Going in Style currently has a 44% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's below what I need.
That is below what you need, for sure. So not starting on a good foot here with the Rotten Tomatoes. Nothing like the box office started out here. Amanda, you had Zookeeper's Wife, Being Fresh. Thoughts?
It's not.
No, it's not. It's 58%, so well under what we needed as well. Dan, you had a film that you were highly anticipating for the year, Wilson, as being certified fresh. Are you aware of what that film currently has on Rotten Tomatoes?
I think it's like 60%. It's not super high.
It's actually even lower than that. It's all the way down to 40.
Ooh.
So Wilson down to 40. And let me just round it off by saying that I had The Circle, because, hey, that guy did Spectacular Now and the tour, and Tom Hanks is in it. And as anybody that's seen that film or heard a single review on that, I don't think I've heard a single good thing about that film. It has a 17% currently on Rotten Tomatoes. So I did the thing where you don't even miss it. You predict the wrong thing for it completely. So 0 for 4, first round of Rotten Tomatoes. See if it can get better from there. Matt, your second pick for Fresh was Chips. You did what I did with The Circle, because that has a 16%.
Oh, no.
So we've actually picked two rotten films so far in our Fresh predictions. So that's not a good way to do this. Amanda, your second pick for Certified Fresh was The Shack.
Not so good.
Let's make it three films that are rotten. The Shack, 19%.
So bad.
Guys, are we still feeling good about our prediction prowess?
As long as everyone fails, I won't be in last place.
Dan, you had The Discovery being certified fresh, the Netflix film. Discovery currently has a 43%. So,
man.
Not
good. Boo. The critics are wrong. My predictions are right. That's
what we're going to go with. My other fresh pick was Beauty and the Beast. I guess it's closer than any of our other picks, but not going to make the mark. It's only at a 71%. So did not quite creep up to that 75%.
Are these people watching the same movies that we're watching?
I did not watch Chips or The Shack or Going in Style or The Zookeeper's Wife, so I can't tell you. But yeah, so 0 for 8 in our certified fresh picks. We did pick a bunch of rotten films, though, so we should be good at making our rotten predictions. Matt, your first rotten prediction was Boss Baby.
F that movie.
F that movie, unless you're a critic, apparently, because it has a 53%.
Are those two grown men we saw going to see Boss Baby at the theater the other day?
That was weird.
It was really weird.
Adult male couples.
They're probably podcasters.
I hope so. But yeah, Boss Baby, not a great score, but way above the 25% mark. So no points for you, Matt, yet on the Rotten Tomatoes front. Dan, you had Smurfs Lost Village being rotten, and so did I. Not quite rotten, 38%.
Who gives that a positive review?
How did Smurfs 3 get all the way up to a 38%? I call shenanigans. Amanda, you had Before I Fall, which I still don't remember what that movie is.
It's like the bad Groundhog Day
version. Oh, okay, that's right. Before I Fall, 66%. 66%.
I have no words.
That's not what you need. We needed 25. It's at 66.
How the hell did that get 66 and the zookeeper's wife got what, 40-something?
58.
That's stupid.
I haven't seen either film. All right. Let's go through the rest of the Rotten Chicks. Myself and Dan both had Power Rangers being rotten. And Power Rangers got a 47%. So, I mean, we're not picking fresh films at least, but we're not picking rotten films either. Matt, we were to give yours away, your other rotten pick was Smurfs Lost Village, just like Dan and myself, so no points for you for that. So far, 8 points. Yeah, so far, 15 misses in the Rotten Tomatoes.
Jeez.
So as many as we got right almost in the first round.
Well, it's up to you on this last one.
Oh no.
Amanda, you had Chips being rotten. Chips. 16%, like we talked about. That's why Matt got it wrong when he had it fresh. So we were bound to get one of these right because Matt had Chips being fresh and you had it being rotten, unless I guess it was in the middle somewhere. So Amanda gets the first Rotten Tomatoes pick.
So I was the only one to get one wrong.
In the box office.
In the box office. And I'm the only one to get one right in the Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, we still got our versus. So let's see what happens here. For my versus, I had Ghost in the Shell beating Life. Ghost in the Shell got a 45%. Life got a 68%. That is incorrect. Amanda, you had Table 19 beating The Last Word. Neither film scored well. Table 19, 22%. Last Word, though, 33%, which means you miss. You got them in the wrong order there. Sorry. Your facial expressions are doing nothing for the podcast listeners.
Can't help it.
All right. Matt, you had Boss Baby beating 9 Lives. How you feeling?
Also F 9 Lives.
Boss Baby, 53%, 9 Lives, 11%. That's good for a point, Matt.
Hey, 11% is not good.
It was going to be hard for Boss Baby to not be better than that, but you never know. Dan, your versus was another group of kind of science fiction, fantasy monster films going here. Colossal beating Kong Skull Island. What if I told you that the percentage difference between those two films is 2%?
I'm going to go with the fact that I probably didn't get it right then, because that's how today's going right now. So
Colossal, 79%. Kong, 77 somehow.
Wow, there you go.
So Colossal beats it by 2%, but I'm still confused as to how Kong is at a 77. So that means that Matt, Dan, and Amanda, you each got 1 point in Rotten Tomatoes, and I was 0-for. So, that means the only predictions left to reveal are our featured film predictions. We did Fate of the Furious, and how this works is we try to guess the box office total to the closest and the Rotten Tomatoes score to the closest. All right. For box office, Matt, you had 300 million. Dan, you had 280. I had 260. Amanda, you had 255. As we stated earlier, currently the Fate of the Furious is at 192. Now, granted, it still will probably have a couple more weeks of money making, but Dan, I can't see that making more than 58 more million in domestic total. Can you?
At this point, with Guardians coming out and stuff, I don't think so, no.
And I think last weekend it was down to like 19 or 9 or something. So it would take like 7 or 8 more weekends of doing the exact same thing for it to get past 250. So I think that's going to be good enough to award Amanda the closest box office prediction for the lowest of all of us at 255. All right. So that means...
You guys didn't see my victory shoulder
She drops. Was doing victory dances here. So that means we got to go for the Rotten Tomatoes score. And let's go in the order we did here. Amanda, you said Fate of the Furious would have a 45% at the lowest end of all of us. I had 60%. Matt and Dan, you were right next to each other. Dan had 75. Matt did the Price is Right thing and went to 76. Fate of the Furious currently has a 66%, which means that would be 9 away from Dan, but only 6 away from my 60%. So unless it changes a bunch, I would get the point for the Rotten Tomatoes pick, which, if you haven't been keeping track at home, guys, I got 5 box office picks right and the Rotten Tomatoes accuracy for Fate of the Furious, which means 6 points. Dan, you got 5 box office picks and your Rotten Tomatoes versus pick for 6 points. Amanda, you got 4 box office points, but 1 Rotten Tomatoes point and the box office for Fate of the Furious, which means you have 6 points. Matt, you got all 5 box office and your Rotten Tomatoes versus, which means you have 6 points.
That's creepy.
So, we all got 6 points. I don't know if I've ever seen something quite like that. We only missed 1 point in all of our box office, and we only got 3 points in all of our Rotten Tomatoes. Dan, should we stop what we're doing and never do this again?
I'm just glad we have 4 people and not 3. Then we would need to walk away. Like, all right, well, we need to end this right now.
Matt, you're not in last place after the first round of predictions.
Hey, that's where I want to be, not last.
Well, actually, you are, but also first place.
So. Ah, dang it. I don't know what to think.
It depends how we order it, but you're first, second, third, and last. So, all right. So, just kind of going through the spring films just a little bit, just to kind of give people a heads up on kind of how it all shook out. The box office, we already talked about which ones were at the top. Beauty and the Beast reigned supreme at number 1. Then we had Logan at number 2, Fate of the Furious in the third spot with $192 million. Then Kong Skull Island and Boss Baby rounding up the top 5 as far as box office goes. Other ones that we would probably consider successful, though, we would probably consider Gifted successful. It doubled its budget. The Case for Christ had $10 million more than its budget. Before I Fall, How to Be a Latin Lover all made more than its budget. Other ones that we could have picked for box office bombs would have been, we had Life, Chips, Zookeeper's Wife, The Circle, Unforgettable, The Promise, Table 19, Trainspotting, Colossal, and Free Fire would have all been considered bombs as far as their box office went. Rotten Tomatoes-wise, there was actually quite a few that were certified fresh that had more of a limited release, but the ones that you could have picked for certified fresh, Logan, Kong Skull Island, that still gets me. The Case for Christ has a 79%. Lost City of Z, 89%, Amanda. 89% for the Lost City of Z.
Lord have mercy.
Your Name, 98%. Trainspotting, 78%. Colossal, 79%. And Their Finest, 86%. As far as the possible rotten picks, it would have just been a few. The Shack at 19%. Chips at 16%. The Circle at 17%. Table 19 at 22%, and Unforgettable just kind of teetering on the brink there at a 26%. Any surprises there, Dan, of things that you thought were going to do better or worse, whether it came to critical acclaim, money-wise, or anything like that?
I mean, besides the ones that I got wrong. Wilson really does really surprise me, the one that I had high hopes for. I'm still holding out that critics are wrong, but that's the one that I'm really the most shocked by right now.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Now, I'm not surprised after I saw it, but if you would have told me beforehand that Circle was going to be such a flop, both critically and box office wise, I wouldn't have predicted that. I mean, I understand it because I've seen the film, but that kind of shocked me a little bit. And I did not realize The Promise had such a big budget. The Promise had a $90 million budget, and that got like a super limited release, so that there was no way that they were going to make their money back for that one. So that kind of shocked me a little bit. Amanda, anything that you're shocked at besides The Lost City of Z having an 89% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Some of this really doesn't shock me now that we're putting it out there.
Matt, surprised that the Smurfs, The Lost Village, 38% on Rotten Tomatoes and $37 million?
I mean, because they're both really high numbers for that movie. Because, like I don't know, man. It's got bad ratings, but not the worst ratings, and it made, like, half its budget back. Right. Like, that's exactly what I would have expected, honestly.
Now, Matt, you did predict that the live-action Beauty and the Beast would beat the animated version, but you didn't have Beauty and the Beast as high as, say, Dan did overall for the year in the second spot. Are you feeling like the rest of us missed the boat on not putting that higher on our rankings for the year?
Oh, man. I just, when we were going through the top, I opened up my top 15, and I'm like, uh-oh. Like, I don't think I have Logan on there at all. Like, Beauty and the Beast, I think I have, like, a 10 or 12 area. It's not going to be good for me.
We'll have to wait and see. There's still a bunch of big-budget films yet to come out, and it seems like a lot of them are coming out over the course of the summer, which leads us directly into our summer predictions. Before we get into the nuts and bolts on who's picking what, Dan, what are your thoughts kind of looking at the slate here? Do you think this is an easy 2 months to predict? Is it got a variety of stuff coming out? Or, you know, last summer was not overly well received by a lot of cinephiles. What do you think this summer is going to be like?
I'm afraid to say it's going to be easy to predict based upon how poorly I did with the Rotten Tomatoes stuff. I think when it comes to summer, box office it is easy, but when it comes to Rotten Tomatoes, I think it's a lot more challenging because, you know, there's a lot of things up in the air. There's some new franchises trying to get off the ground this year. There's some ones that are coming back that have a pretty consistent record, but maybe this time they'll get it right. I don't know. I'm not super excited about a lot this summer, to be honest, especially these 2 months. You know, there's some potential here, but I don't know. Like, it's looking like the first 2 months are going to be kind of rough, honestly.
Yeah, and we'll have to see how the two kind of sections of summer kind of compare to each other, since we're breaking this down and doing May, June in the first section and July, August in the second. So kind of have to wait and see. Amanda, just looking at your list before you get into any of your specific predictions, are you excited for the next 2 months, or what do you think?
Yes, I think there's a bunch of good stuff coming out in the next couple months that I'm excited for. The Mummy, Guardians of the Galaxy, Wonder Woman, Alien Covenant, freaking Pirates of the Caribbean, Rough Night looks hilarious. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to some stuff.
Right up your alley, then?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into it, then. Let's start with the box office. We're going to start where we normally do here, I guess. As far as the reveals go, we'll start the same with the predictions. Let's go with our picks to click first. Start with the positivity, movies that are making some money, doing well for themselves. Amanda, ladies first, what film would you like to pick to click?
I'm going to go with a surefire win on a point here, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Going for the softball, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 says it's going to make some money. It's making money as we speak. For those that don't know, we don't release these episodes for a little while, but we don't know what the opening weekend for Guardians of the Galaxy is yet. So these are predictions without knowledge of too much of what's going on there.
Did it open last night or tonight?
Tonight, so I don't know. Probably depends on where you're at, but around the same time we're recording. Matt, what's your first pick to click?
I'm going to go with Baywatch, because why not, man?
It's The Rock.
It looks good. Well, I mean, it looks fun.
The Rock makes money, right? So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Usually.
I mean, he didn't make it. Like, Hercules didn't make its budget back, and I think that was, like, maybe the best movie of that year. But, like, he usually makes money, especially, I think, comedy.
All right, so we'll have to wait and see what Baywatch does. Dan, what's your first pick to click?
I'm going to go with a softball as well, because, you know, gotta make up some ground here. Well, I guess not necessarily make up ground, but whatever. I'm going to go with Cars 3. You know, Cars money, movies make money. As watching Cars with my son more times than I like to admit, he loves them, but he's also 2, so there's that. But, so yeah, Cars 3, because it's Pixar plus Cars equals dollars.
And the other thing you got to think about with that one, and I almost put it on my list as well, is this year does not even come close to comparing to last year for animated films. It seemed like last year, every, like, 2 months, we were getting a pretty big name or, you know, well-recognized animated film that came out. This year's, I mean, we had the Lego Batman movie way early on, and there really hasn't been anything except for Boss Baby since. So there might be a lot of families or, you know, people that are looking for this opportunity to finally take their kids back to a movie. And
oh, that's not true, because we've been to a lot of not age-appropriate films with kids have been in it this year already.
We're talking about parents that know what they're doing. And Boss Baby has almost made $150 million, and Cars 3 has to make more than that, right? I would think. So we'll have to wait and see. I like the pick there, though. For my first pick to click, I'm going to try to do what some of you guys have done in the past with some of these low-budget horror films or the like. I'm going to go with It Comes at Night. I think there's some buzz for that film, and I think there's no way it's going to have a very high budget. So It Comes at Night will be my first pick. Amanda. Your second one.
I'm going to go with Pirates of the Caribbean.
Think it's going to make some money, huh?
Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Do you know what its budget is?
No, sir.
Okay.
Do you?
Yes.
What is it? I can find it.
I'm not going to tell you, because you're going to try to change your pick.
I've already given it. How can I change it now?
Just hold off. It'll be revealed shortly. Okay. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tales. She says it's going to make some money. Matt, what's your second pick?
I'm going to go with that Cars 3.
Did you have this written down before Dan explained why he wanted to say Cars 3?
Yeah.
Right, I'm just kidding.
He's not kidding. Don't.
I wrote an answer.
We're all changing them. We're all sneaky.
the darn internets are letting us be sneaky. No. Dan, what's your next pick to click?
Well, I'm going to, again, go with a softball and go with animation again and go with Despicable Me 3, because even Minions made a lot of money, so I would assume that's going to as well.
All right, going double down on the animation. I like it. It usually pays dividends. For my second pick to click, this is probably my most out of left field pick for all my predictions today. Straight Outta Compton made a lot of money, and I know a lot more people that were obsessed with Tupac than the people in Straight Outta Compton. So I'm not going to try to sound ignorant and try to name anybody. Eazy-E. All Eyes on Me. I think there's going to be a lot of people going to see All Eyes on Me. I think it's going to have a similar success to Straight Outta Compton. So, and that budget can't be huge either, because there's not like a bunch of huge movie stars or anything else like that on there. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say All Eyes on Me makes its money back. Amanda, let's get negative.
That's what I like to do.
Who's not making any money?
Lowriders. So stupid.
So just basically because of that?
Yes. And I was struggling to find another one that would bomb.
All right. So, I mean, it is going to be coming out shortly in the wake of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So, Lowriders as your first pick. Matt, did you have a reaction?
You're acting like Lowriders is in competition with Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's everyone that's going to the theater seeing Guardians of the Galaxy, aren't they? I don't know.
Baby Groot!
Matt?
I think the problem with Lowriders bombing is, like, one, how big of a budget is it going to have? Like, it's all set on the streets and stuff. But two, it's, movies aimed at ethnic minorities tend to do really well, because you get, like, two or three a year. If you're not white, you don't get a whole lot of movies aimed at your cultural group. And so, like, I never bet against those, ever.
Are people still really into Lowriders? I didn't know that.
But it's not about the role Lowriders. It's the Latino American culture that you don't see on the big screen.
He might have a point. We're going to have to wait and see what happens with that one. Matt, what's your first bet to bomb?
The movies that I love, because people don't like the movies that I love. Let's go with King Arthur. That ain't going to make money. I'll see it. Not going to make money.
It was great.
Nope. It's not going to make money.
It's so great, though. It's
Amanda loved it. Money.
I was wowed.
I was not anywhere near as high as she was on it.
Didn't know it was out already.
We got an advanced screening.
But you're right, man. It's not going to make any money.
Shut up, it's amazing.
All right. Especially for what his budget had to be. And it had to be pretty high, because there's a lot of CG and effects in there.
But they're amazingly done. Just let me gush, Kevin. Wait a minute.
You can like it. I have no problem. Enjoy your films.
See these markers? They're going to be all up on your face in a second. All
right. On that note, Dan, what's your first bet to bomb?
I'm going to go with King Arthur as well, so I'm going to double down on that.
I should have done that, because I've seen the damn movie. I don't know why I didn't pick that. All right. My first bet to bomb, Amanda, is Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men, Tell No Tales. Its budget is $320 million.
What?
Is this where I jump in and say that's my second one? Because that ain't making money either.
It could make money. It could make a bunch of money.
Oh, no, no. It could make Guardians 1 money and still not make its budget back. What?
How does it have a $320 million
budget?
Where did
you find that?
I'll double check my facts. Maybe I got some bad information.
I was looking at the fucking site that you sent in our script, and I did not see it there.
Oh, that's just because I have secret other links that I go to try to beat you guys with. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe my numbers are wrong, but it says it has a colossal budget.
That's a stupid budget. Who would do that?
So I don't know if it can muster that much money.
Nobody's liking Johnny Depp right now either, so... God damn it.
Why'd you pick it to click?
Because I'm excited for the movie to come out.
Okay. This is where our excitement and personal bias get in the way of our rational thinking, I think. All right, our second round of bombs. Amanda, what do you got?
Everything.
I'm sorry, what?
Everything.
Is that a movie?
Yes.
Did I put that in the script? What is that about?
Everything.
Did you look at what it was about?
Yes. It's like, all I know from the trailer is like the kiss. And
you even watch
like,
trailers?
She's like, is everybody's first kiss like this? And he's like, it's never like this.
All right. I must have just completely bypassed that. I didn't even know it was the name I wrote down.
Everything.
All right. Everything. Gonna bomb. Matt, what's your second pick?
I already did it. It's Pirates.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So you doubled with me and the Pirates. That means, Dan, you got another room for one more bomb.
I'm going to go with The Mummy. I mean, it's got a pretty sizable budget. Tom Cruise movies, even like really good ones like Edge of Tomorrow. Is that what it was called?
Yeah. Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah. Didn't do that well. It ended up not making its money back, so... I mean, when he's not in a Mission Impossible film, it doesn't seem to do well. Also, don't know how many people really care about The Mummy anymore. So, I'm thinking about The Mummy.
For Bet to Bombs, we should just really pick which films you and Matt are most excited for. It's nothing against it. They just don't tend to make a lot of money.
You just made my heart cry.
I'm sorry. Dan, I like your pick so much that it's my second pick as well. Yeah, I looked at Tom Cruise money or movies, and if they're not like Mission Impossible or something big time like that, they don't seem to do too well. I don't think anyone's excited for The Mummy except for Amanda. So I don't think the masses are excited for The Mummy. How about that?
I need a lot of room for my personality, so I can count for several people.
Okay. I don't think it's going to be enough to make The Mummy's budget back, though. You're going to have to go a lot of times. You got to do that?
Maybe.
All right. Wildcard pick for box office. Amanda, how wild are you getting here?
I'm going to say All Eyes on Me outperforms Baby Driver.
At the box office?
Yes.
Interesting. I think both of those films could do well. All right.
Why are you questioning my shit?
I'm just reacting and thinking about it and thinking that's going to be an interesting battle because I think both of those movies are going to make money. So we'll have
I thought
to see
so
which
too.
One makes
so,
more.
Boom.
All right. Matt, your wild card.
My wild card, I think that this new Mummy isn't going to be better than like any other movie in the best movie in the Mummy franchises. Like, I don't think it'll beat like The Mummy Returns.
So it's going to be the lowest out of all of them, or
it's going to be not the highest?
Not the highest. All right. So it will not be the highest grossing Mummy film.
It can't be like the lowest because there's like one of them that made like 12 million or something ridiculously low.
Or whatever.
So it's not going to reign supreme is what you're saying.
Yeah, dude. It looks... here's the thing. If you're excited for it, great. But like, it doesn't make sense to me from a trailer standpoint. Like, it's like... It opens up and it's like hyper action movie. And it's like, but no, actually, this action hero is going to be afraid because it's a horror movie. Oh, but don't worry. He can't die. So it's like, don't worry for like... The character that you're supposed to, you know, relate to. Don't worry, he can't die ever.
Amanda?
I don't care.
Like, it's supposed to be like, horror movies are built on tension, and how can you be tense for a character that literally cannot die?
But the people around him can't. Like, do you see him, like, chucking that chick out of the way when the bus came, and he was, like, going through the bus, like... Other people, the stakes are going to be high.
The stakes are going to be high for the bystanders on the street.
You know, it's not a horror movie, Superman, where everyone around him can die and he can't.
I'm going to do something very similar, but with a different franchise for my wild card. But I'm going to go and say what you were saying Mummy won't be. I think Alien Covenant will be the highest grossing film in the Alien franchise. I'm going to say that. I'm not saying it's going to make a bazillion dollars. I don't have it as a pick-to-click necessarily, but I think it's going to make more than all the other Alien films in the franchise, which isn't going to take a ton, but I'm still going to say it's happening. Dan, what about your wild card?
I kind of, along those lines, I'm going to say Baby Driver is the highest grossing Edgar Wright movie.
All right. Interesting.
Who's Edgar Wright? The Mad Men guy?
Like, no, he's the guy who did the Carlito trilogy, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, Scott Pilgrim Saves the World as well.
That guy.
Okay.
The director.
So, all right, so the highest grossing film for director Edgar Wright. All right, so those are some interesting wildcards. I'm anticipating to see what happens with those. Let's get into the Rotten Tomatoes, though, where we all struggled mightily in the spring predictions. Let's see if we can do any better. Amanda.
I don't feel so good about these.
Give me something that's going to be fresh.
Oh, Jesus. The Book of Henry.
Book of Henry. There was a lot of buzz about that early on in the year. A lot of people listed that on their most anticipated films of the year list.
Now that I've seen a trailer, I feel better about it.
All right, so feeling better about the trailer. I didn't know if the trailer made me feel better or not, but it didn't ruin it for me, so I still am anticipating that one. So Book of Henry is our first fresh pick. Matt, what do you got going fresh this next round?
Oh, man. I think the fresh ones were harder. Or maybe I'm just finally in tune to them.
Rotten Tomatoes seems to be hard for all of us, no matter if it's fresh or rotten.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think both of my rotten picks are pretty good. But Baby Driver looks like hella good.
All right. Baby Driver, some more love for that film. Matt, I'm just going to jump in here because I have it as my fresh film as well.
There we go.
The reason being is Edgar Wright is 7 for 7 on his films being fresh. He's never done a movie as a director that has not been fresh. So
I wouldn't have even thought to look that up.
I did, and regardless of how we came to the same conclusion, so I will root for you and you can root for me as far as Baby Driver coming in fresh.
This is why you stay up like 2 hours after me, right? So you can go on here and do all this insane research to beat me at this.
I didn't beat you in the spring.
But now you're going to try to.
You're darn right I am. Dan, what do you have as your first fresh pick?
I have The Big Sick. My first fresh pick. It got a lot of good buzz at Sundance. And so yeah, I also love Kumail Nanjiani, so that's my hope.
And that was also on our list of most anticipated films for the year, so anticipating that one's release as well. Amanda, your second fresh pick.
The Beguiled.
I was so close to putting that on my list because Sofia Coppola has had almost as good of a record. Not quite as good as a record as Edgar Wright, but she has had a lot of films that have done well Rotten Tomatoes-wise. So
when we just had the description of the movie, I was like, this is fucking stupid. But then when we saw the preview, I'm like, this is going to be intense.
See, you've been seeing more trailers, more previews than any of us, so you have that extra edge, because if it hasn't played in front of a movie, which this one I know did, I have not been watching trailers this year, so.
Do you go on IMDb? They're, like, in your face. Like, I accidentally click on trailers and watch them all the time.
Getting the IMDb some money. All right. Matt, your second fresh pick.
Oh, man. I think I'm going to go with Snatched.
All right.
Like, I think that lady makes money.
Is money going to help her?
Oh, no, probably not. I mean, because it's like, the movie looks really weird and kind of like, maybe, here's the thing, it's like, it's not Trainwreck, because it's got a weird, like, action story element to it with kidnappings and gunfights and stuff.
I did not look to see how her other films have done, so I don't know how her filmography stands up Rotten Tomatoes-wise, so that'd be interesting.
Trainwreck did real good.
Okay, so maybe that's... there's a chance for Snatch to do kind of in a similar vein. Dan, what do you have as your second fresh pick?
I have, for my second fresh pick, The Book of Henry. Again, Amanda had it, I think, as her first pick, but I think it looks good. I like the director. Hoping it was also on my anticipated list, so hopefully it does not disappoint like Wilson in The Circle.
There we go. Another one that we had on very high on our most anticipated list was a film called Okja by Bong Joon-ho, and that's going to be my other fresh pick. So a lot of picks that we were anticipating. I'm going with Bong Joon-ho because he's had in five films that he's directed, his lowest film, I believe, is a 75. So if his lowest film is at the borderline of being fresh, then I would say Okja has a good chance. So again, we could be in for all kinds of disappointment if Book of Henry and Okja and Big Sick, or Big Stick, what's it called again?
The Big Sick.
The Big Sick. I always get it wrong. If all those disappoint, we're going to be in for a rough couple months. But hopefully our most anticipated list picks follow through for us. Let's shift it to the negative one more time. Amanda, what's going to be rotten?
This looks friggin' stupid. My Cousin Rachel.
My Cousin Rachel? Starring Rachel Weisz. Stupid enough to be rotten, huh?
Hopefully.
All right. No love for Mike. I never even heard of this film until all of a sudden it played before a movie we saw like last week. So this was under my radar at the beginning of the year. Matt, what else do you have as being rotten?
Did you know that no movie with the word Amityville in its name has gotten above a 25% on Rotten Tomatoes?
You stole my pick. Yes.
It's also my second.
It's your second too? Amityville Awakening would be the fifth movie, or it's 5 for 5 as being rotten. The Amityville films. So,
oh, man. No good.
So if it's the one that is not, we're all going to be feeling silly. But so three of us with Amityville Awakening as a rotten pick. Dan, what do you have?
I'm going to go with Captain Underpants.
That just sounds weird.
Which is an actual, you know, thing that exists and not just a crazy thing I made up in my head.
So Captain Underpants not being able to cash in amongst the... The kid film
because little kids don't get on Rotten Tomatoes. That's why.
Okay. You are correct. We need a Rotten Tomatoes just for little kids.
We need more like 8-year-old critics. I think it would do Rotten Tomatoes some good.
All right. So Amanda, you've already given your two picks. Matt, you should have one left for your rotten picks, correct?
Yeah.
What's that?
I mean, Wonder Woman can't possibly be good, right?
The DC love continues from Matt, even though I know you do like DC. So you think it's going to follow suit as far as the last couple of DC films we've had, huh?
Yeah. It'll probably be exactly like that, where it gets a bad Rotten Tomatoes and then just all the money.
All right. For my other rotten pick, I'm going to go with The House, starring Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler.
I thought that looked funny.
The Rotten Tomatoes and critics don't usually tend to be too favor. I don't know what I'm trying to say. For Will Ferrell, they don't tend to rate him too well in his films. I mean,
Uncultured swines.
He does well in like the more serious roles, and then there's been like one or two comedies that he's done decent on, but the majority of his films get panned when it comes to the critics, and Amy Poehler's not much better when it comes to that. So I'm not saying my opinion, whether I like him or not, I'm just saying critics don't seem to like those two, so maybe if they're paired together, it won't work. So I'm going to go with The House as being rotten. Dan, you should have one left as well, right?
I do, and it's Transformers, whatever the next one's called. The Last Night, I think. Yeah.
All right, so not thinking that's going to be too good either. Well, let's go with our versus picks for Rotten. So you have to pit two films against each other, Amanda. Who's going against who and who's winning?
I'm going to say Rough Night gets a higher score than Snatched.
So going for the comedies and saying Rough Night is going to be the better of the two. Interesting. Now, is that the one you're more excited for?
Yes.
All right. Matt, who's battling who?
All right. We've only done this once before, and I don't have the notes written down about how it does it. But like, I think this is right, which is I'm gonna say Despicable Me 3 will be the lowest of the franchise. So like, if you want to do versus Minions.
All right. So Despicable Me 3 beats Minions.
It will be lower than Minions.
So Minions beats Despicable Me 3 as far as the Rotten Tomatoes go. All right. I'm going to jump in because I have a very similar one, but I'm have a second. My second film is different. I'm going to say Despicable Me 3 beats Cars 3 when it comes to Rotten Tomatoes. Cars has gone from 72 for its first one down to 39. I can't see the third one going much back in the other direction. The Despicable Me films have been rated fairly well. I don't think Minions was, but so I'm saying Despicable Me 3 beats Cars 3. Dan, what do you got?
I'm going to go with Pirates of the Caribbean, Return of the Death Men's Chess Revenge against Amityville Horror. And because they're both, I mean, I guess Pirates isn't a horror movie, but it has dead people in it. So, and I'm going to say that Pirates has a higher Rotten Tomato score than Amityville Horror.
All right, so Dead Men Tell No Tales beats The Awakening. Alrighty, that means that it's just time for our featured film where we all try to pinpoint the box office and the Rotten Tomatoes score. Everybody has their numbers pre-written down, so we won't be playing Price is Right or Let's Make a Deal on this. Alright, so Transformers The Last Night. We were going to do Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but I screwed that up because I know what its Rotten Tomatoes score is already. Accidentally. So we switched it. We called an audible, and we're going to go with Transformers The Last Night because, hey, who can predict how exactly that one's going to turn out? Let's start off with the box office numbers. Amanda, you have to put your figure in first. How many millions is The Last Night going to make?
200.
200 right on the dot?
Mm-hmm.
200 even for Transformers The Last Night. I don't know if that would make it the lowest grossing of the entire franchise or not. I don't have that information in front of me. Matt, what are you going to do?
I gave it 205, actually. I think that's a really solid place for it to be.
So 200 and 205, two people hovering around the 200 mark. Dan, are you going to follow suit, or are you going one direction, going to go way higher, way lower? What do you think?
I'm going higher. I'm going to go 300 million.
All right, so you're all the way up at 300. And I'm going to somewhat split the difference. I'm going to go 235 is what I have written down, 235. So we have 200, 205, 235, and 300. So you'll have to let us know on the comment section of the website who you think is going to be the most accurate with Transformers The Last Night box office. And let's give you more things to react to with our Rotten Tomatoes prediction. Amanda, what percentages The Last Night?
16.
All right. So not a favorable score for The Last Night. 16% coming from Hard Candy Mandy. Matt, what do you got?
Ooh, I had 16 too, so I guess I'll go with 15.
All right, so you guys were lockstep there, so you're going to go the lower end, the under on that one. Dan, not a lot of love so far with 16 and 15. What are you going with?
I'll double that, which sounds weird, but I'll go 30%.
30%. All right. All the way up to 30% on that one. I guess I'm somewhere in the middle again. I had 20 written down, so 15, 16, 20, and 30%. So not a lot of love for Transformers The Last Night when it comes to Rotten Tomatoes. Amanda, any surprise that we're all on the low end for that one?
No, but I'm super glad that I gave my stuff first. That's for sure.
Why is that?
Because I set a precedent.
So you're saying it's going to be 16 right on the dot, huh?
Bro.
All right. That's my plan. All right. Let's look at the slate of films and get some reactions as far as... We talked a little bit about what we were anticipating, but let's get some more specifics. Dan, what movies are you most anticipating that are coming out in the next 2 months? What are you excited for or intrigued by? What are you thinking?
I mean, obviously Guardians, but I think Big Sick is what I'm the most intrigued by, just because I've heard so much great things about it, of all the people involved. I like the trailer, though the trailer, I don't know. I was hoping a little bit more than what the trailer gave me, but Ray Romano and... Kumail Nanjiani being together seems like it could be kind of funny. So, and I think Baywatch might be okay. And I don't know. I want Alien Covenant to be good because I love the Alien films, some of them. And I really want it to be good. But I don't know. I'm worried. I'm very concerned.
Matt, do you share the same concerns, or what are you excited for coming out in the next 2 months?
Oh, man. Like, Guardians looks good, and I'd love to see King Arthur. Like, but and Pirates of the Caribbean, I never miss the Pirates. Like, just generally, I'm not enthused. I have never seen the Cars movies. I've seen half of one Transformers movie and fell asleep. I want to see Wonder Woman, but I just don't have any hopes for it.
This is interesting because this is like the group of blockbuster films that I was talking about when we were doing the yearly predictions, that were like all these films that it's like, is anyone going to be tired of these franchises? Or is any, you know, because we got the Pirates and the Transformers one, especially those two that have had a bunch of films now. And is anybody still excited? Are they going to be able to elevate the material somewhat? a lot of blockbusters that are question marks, I think, in these 2 months compared to some of the ones maybe later on. Amanda?
Well, I'm freaking excited about a lot of stuff. I know I already said them in the beginning, but I'll reiterate. Definitely Pirates of the Caribbean. Love every one of those movies, and I'm excited to get back into that world. Wonder Woman, I think, is going to be pretty freaking legit. I feel like there was, like, a ton of buzz around it, and it just kind of, like, dropped off, which I think it should have ramped up, you know, until the opening, but I feel like it did the opposite, so I don't know if that's going to have an effect or not. But also, The Mummy, I'm excited about that. Looks dope, all right? And then Guardians of the Galaxy, of course. Friggin' Baby Groot and the team is going to be super fun to get back into that aspect of the universe. And Rough Night, too, I think looks freaking hilarious, and it makes me wish that I had more ladies that I like and would want to hang around with.
You lost your mind. Is that the one trailer that we saw in the theater that you were losing your mind about, Rough Night?
Probably. I don't know. Was I snorting, laughing,
probably,
or something?
Probably. This is one, man. I have no interest whatsoever in seeing The Mummy. So you're going to have to, like, do some convincing to get me to the theater on that one.
Bitch, you know how many movies that I've gone to see at the theater that I fucking hated that you wanted to see?
Okay, payback. I guess I'm going to see payback. The Mummy. I have no excitement level for The Mummy. I have no excitement level for Transformers The Last Knight at all, and that's being a huge Transformers fan. I'm.
You're going to come home, and I'm going to have a TV dinner set out for you with a note saying, F you, I'm at the movies. Have at it.
I will see Pirates of the Caribbean. I think those movies are kind of up and down. The last one was not as good as the other ones, but I'll give it another shot. I mean, Javier Bardem's in that. But if I'm looking overall, Guardians of the Galaxy goes without saying. Like Dan, I kind of share the same sentiment about Alien. I'm very intrigued and hopeful for that one, but I'm not going to, like, go in with any high expectations, so hopefully I can't get disappointed. As far as some of those other ones that I was mentioning, I am somewhat excited on All Eyes on Me, just because I know absolutely nothing about Tupac, so it'll at least be, like, something that informs me, I guess.
You know anything about Public Enemy either?
No, obviously not. I think the Book of Henry looks interesting. Okja coming out, that was, I think, my number 3 most anticipated film of the year, so definitely excited about that.
Have you even seen a trailer for that yet?
Nope.
How can you be so excited for it then?
I was just excited about the idea and the people behind it, and sure. I don't need trailers.
Sure.
What?
I'm over you right now.
Amanda, you didn't mention any of the horror films. Are you not excited for...
When it's, like, limited release, no, I don't get excited, because that just has written all over it. It's gonna suck.
All right, so you'll have to let us know which films you're excited about and which ones you're not excited about, which ones you think will do well, what you think of our predictions. The way to do all of those things is to go to the website www.geekcastradio.com, finding the Cinema Geek post, and you can comment there. We can interact with you directly on the website there and reply to any comments. We can also reply and interact with you guys on Twitter. The show handle, if you want to tweet to the show, is @CinemaGeekCast. Our individual Twitters, Amanda, are?
@HardCandyMandy, eyes, no eyes.
Dan, your Twitter handle is?
@MovieRevolt.
Matt?
@FridleySent.
And mine is @OptimusSolo. Before we go, though, I did want to announce something for the listeners. I know this isn't necessarily the video game spotlight episode, but we will be getting back into the video game spotlight as we have quite a few more films to cover there, as well as rounding off our Hayao Miyazaki spotlight. Those things will be coming, and we're creeping ever closer to our top 10 all-time personal favorite films. So those are all different episodes to watch, but I did want to mention that we're going to go ahead and put a watch.
You can't say
no, probably not. But I did want to go ahead and put some information on a contest that we're going to be doing, because, and it's not necessarily going to be, I guess, something that a lot of people will be excited about, but hey, let's give stuff out. So I don't know if you guys have been keeping track or not when we've been doing these video game films, but I have mentioned a number of different times that we purchased a lot of those video game films on DVD. And I know everybody's getting, like, HD and Blu-ray and whatnot, but we want to give some of those films away, because our video game spotlight is that spectacular. So we're going to have a contest on giving quite a few of those video game films away. I'll have a list next time as far as which films will be given away, but the way we're going to do that is basically starting from May 1st until we conclude the video game spotlight. So May 1st until whenever that ends, We're going to draw names based on anybody that has given us an iTunes review. So if you want to be entered into the contest to win those video game films that we'll mail to you, you just got to go to iTunes and find the Cinema Geeks and give us an iTunes review. You'll automatically be entered in a contest to win a bucketful of video game DVDs. Amanda, are you excited?
To get them out the house? Yes.
Matt, are you going to enter?
I mean, there are so many I don't own.
So that's something that we'll be looking forward to kind of giving. We haven't done a lot of contests before, so that'll be fun too. I'd also want to mention that do pay attention to the website. We'll put links in the episode notes eventually, but pay attention to the website because we will have probably some polls coming up for you about different things regarding the website in general, possible future top 100 lists that the network does. But we'll also have some Cinema Geek related polls probably coming up here in the next couple months as we kind of round down some of these spotlights. So if you want to have a voice in what we do in the future, pay attention to that. We'll give you more specifics as we get closer to those dates. So all stuff to look out for, and if you want to keep up to date with all things Geekcast Radio related, just go to the Facebook page, and Mike will keep you updated with all the different episode posts, blog posts. Dan's got a pretty good series going so far on films. I know we talked about it once before, Dan, but let the people know what kind of blogs that you're putting out there that they can kind of get more of your thoughts on movies.
I have two coming out currently. I have the movies to show my son, which are just films I talk about that I can't wait to show my son. And also I'm doing Catching Up with the Classics, where I'm reviewing some classic and notable comic books, such as I did The Preacher Volume 1, Giant Size X-Men just went out the day we're recording this, and should have some more recently. So
absolutely. So look out for those and let Dan comment on his post. Let him know what you're thinking of those blog series. I think the movies to show your son has been fantastic so far, so you're doing an excellent job with that. Look forward to more titles that you're putting out there. All right, so that is it for us. Be sure to check in next week for your next chance to listen to The Cinema Geeks.